Hey Liverpool fans, have you seen the latest release? At Anfield Index, we've teamed up with Liverpool FC to announce that the brand new 24-25 LFC Nike home kit and anthem jacket are out now, and they're hotter than ever. The brand new kit pays homage to the legendary Rome 1984 side, featuring sleek pinstripe detailing that brings a touch of history to our modern game. Whether you're cheering from the cop or watching from home, you'll feel the spirit of the Reds coursing through every stitch. The best part? You can grab yours today. The new kit and training range are available in official stores, online, and through the LFC store app. Don't wait, order now and be ready to show your Liverpool pride and style. Get your hands on the new 24-25 LFC home kit and anthem jacket today. Let's make this season unforgettable. You'll never walk alone.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights.
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to AI Scouted on Anfield Index Pro. I'm Dave Hendrick, joined as always by Mr. Carl Matchett. How are you, sir?
Relieved that guys press record.
Yes, yes, indeed. If only Liverpool had remembered to press record in recent weeks, we might still be in the title challenge.
Or anything but rewind, in fact.
If they'd done anything other than, you know, take the tape out and boot it out the window, we might be better off. But we'll get to Liverpool a little bit later. We are going to start with the Champions League. The semi-finals begin this week. They begin tonight, in fact, as Bayern Munich take on Real Madrid. And tomorrow night, then, it is Borussia Dortmund versus PSG. I do find it funny, Carl, that in a season in which the Bundesliga is particularly weak, last season it was probably a little bit weaker, in truth, but it is particularly weak this season, outside of, obviously, the runaway leaders, Bayer Leverkusen, Bayern having a dreadful season and Dortmund also having a dreadful season and likely to miss out on Champions League football for next year, are in European Cup semi-finals.
Yeah, European football's a bit weird like that sometimes, isn't it? You know, you can be only challenging for top four, top five finishes, whatever it is in your league, top three sometimes, and just find a way. You know, sometimes it's a better performance in Europe. Sometimes you just get lucky with the draw. But it's not always entirely reflective of who the very best teams are. And I mean, I kind of think that that's a big part of the allure of cup competitions. Obviously, if it was just going to be same people at the top of the league and the same people at the top of the cup, then it'd be a little bit pointless, wouldn't it? So good in a way for the viewers, and good that we sometimes get some slightly stranger draws because we do seem to get the similar collections of clubs in the latter stages. So, I mean, both of these teams probably need this competition to have been very good for them, you know, to avoid further grumblings, further probably sackings, if we're being honest. I think, you know, if Thomas Tuchel had exited last 16 or something like that, he wouldn't have seen out the season anyway. So Definitely a few subplots and storylines in this whole Last Four scenario, even though it feels very familiar in many ways and we could get many different repeats from previous years.
If Thomas Tuchel was to guide Bayern past Real in this semi-final and into the final and then win that final, do you think does it alter things at Bayern this summer? Do you think do they then go to him and say, look, you know, we need you to stay, we want you to stay, whatever the situation is? Because as things currently stand, Ralf Rangnick is the bookmaker's favourite to take over. And I mean, Ralf Rangnick hasn't been a good manager in a long time. He's been an excellent sporting director in recent years, or in more recent years, but he hasn't been a full-time club manager who's performing well in a very long time. So that would be an odd appointment. It wouldn't nearly make more sense to keep Tuchel if he wins the European Cup, surely.
I mean, I get that obviously winning the European Cup would be a big thing, that, or is it a big thing, and therefore could sway people's minds. But I just think that there's bigger reasons than winning one game or two games or three games or four games, which makes a manager stay or go, or at least there should be. I don't really believe that it should impact on a decision which has been taken months ago, which is presumably being taken across the course of months and for the planning of future many, many months. So I don't think that it should impact either his decision or the club's decision, to be honest. But obviously emotions and fans and all this other kind of thing can definitely impact in that way when you win a big trophy. But like I said, I just think if there's a fundamental reason behind the decision in the first place, I'm not really sure why that would have changed just because you happen to beat a couple of teams, you know, not up until this point, the very biggest of clubs, obviously. If they beat Real Madrid, that's a very different matter, and that's fine. But like, Barca have walked it back already and Xavi staying. I would expect it off them because they're a club who have terrible planning. I wouldn't expect it off Bayern Munich.
No, I wouldn't either, but it's just that, like, we're about to enter May. They've known Thomas Tuchel was leaving since February, and yet Ralf Rangnick is where they stand. Now, look, that might well change, and I think there's enough smart people running Bayern to take a secondary look around and see who's available. I think there's a very good candidate for their job who looked like the likely choice for us, but mistakes happen, and now he's available again. And I would have thought they'd just go to Ruben Amorim and say, look, this is the opportunity that you've been looking for. And, you know, that's a club where I think he would have incredible success. It's a squad that already lends itself quite well to how he plays. There's a number of players there that would fit incredibly well. You could see Musiala and Sané behind Harry Kane in that 2-1 forward line. If Alphonso Davies stays, him and Joshua Kimmich as wingbacks could be perfect for Ruben Amorim. Him and Jay, Mazraoui, and maybe one other as a three-man back line. And then, obviously, they need help in central midfield anyway. That's the case regardless of who takes over. But I do think that squad would lend itself well to him. But it's still just a thing, like, if Tuchel wins the European Cup, and if he then turns around and says, look, I want to stay, I mean, it might make it tough on them. Now, they've had European Cup winning managers leave before. Jupp Heynckes has obviously won a treble and then left. And maybe Tuchel would see it as, you know, like, they fell over the line in the league last year, needed Dortmund to choke in spectacular fashion, collapsed in the league this season. He hasn't performed well in the Bundesliga, but if he did win a European Cup, which would obviously be his second, it would at least validate him and his time at the club.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think it could be seen as a failure. I know it's below what their expectations are and everything, and that's fine, but I don't think outright failure is necessarily the case. some people, obviously some supporters, that's fine. They would see it as failure. Just if they don't win the Bundesliga, it's automatically a failure. And that's fine if that's your perspective. But I think it's wildly off what the point of the league is and the point of the sport and how other teams should be pushing you. And naturally, there will come a dip at some point, and naturally you will either slip up or someone will be better than you at some point. And that's what pushes you to go and be better again. It's what happened before when Bayern didn't win for, you know, a time or two. So I don't think Tuchel needs it to not be a complete failure. But at the same time, if he doesn't, then maybe it's not a great job all the same. And there's definitely a case to be answered to say that he's had a couple of jobs which have not been tremendous. And given he was previously seen as among the very, very top managers, probably isn't on the basis of those ones.
No, I'd agree with that. Moving to Real, this was meant to be sort of a down year for Real in some ways because of the serious injuries that they've suffered. Thibaut Courtois missing the whole season, David Alaba missing most of the season, Eder Militao missing large chunks of the season, the complete lack of a striker at the club, with Benzema having moved on and the idea being, well, you know, they're going to wait it out and then they're going to get Mbappe. This was not seen as a season where Real were going to be firing on all cylinders. But as we sit here right now, they are running away with the La Liga title. And you would have to make them favourites to win the Champions League, I think, as things stand with the four teams that are left. Hello there. Have you ever found yourself getting ready to watch the Liverpool match? You've got your mates round, you've got your drinks, you've got your snacks, you're all set to go. It's going to be a good day. And then you find out, oh, the game's not actually being broadcast in your region. There's the heartbreak, there's rage, there's despair, there's fury, you're upset, you're looking for a solution. Well, we've teamed up with NordVPN to bring you a game-changing solution. That's right. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a country where the game's on live. It's like having a global ticket to sports, TV shows, and movies from all around the world. And here's the best part. If you go to nordvpn.com/Anfield Index, you'll score the best discount on your NordVPN plan. Plus, our link gives you 4 extra months free on the 2-year plan. And that's what we call a winning streak. And if you're sitting there and you're thinking, what if it's not for me? What if I don't like it? What if I'm not getting the use of it? Don't worry about it. There's a 30-day money-back guarantee, so it's totally risk-free. I've been using NordVPN to catch all the Liverpool matches and TV shows that I'd normally miss out on. It's totally transformed both my weekends and my TV watching. And not only that, not only does it give me access to stuff from all around the world with the click of a button, it keeps all my data safe. It means that the miscreants, the ne'er-do-wells, what my grandmother would have called scallywags, who lurk on the internet to try and steal your information, can't get your information. NordVPN keeps it safe for you. So don't let geo-restrictions bend you this season. Visit nordvpn.com/Anfield Index and make sure that you're in the game, no matter when or where it's being played. Remember, it's not just sports. It's your all-access pass to binge-worthy TV shows and blockbuster movies from all around the globe. NordVPN literally unlocks the world for you and keeps you safe from the world. So don't miss out. Head over to nordvpn.com/Anfield Index and let the fun and games begin.
Yeah, I would agree. I think just on that unquantifiable ability to find a way in Europe, especially, they would immediately be first choice favourites. Certainly for me, anyway. They also have a huge number of players who have won it more times than the rest of the competitors that they now face. So that as a big factor. Carlo Ancelotti is another big factor. You know, club aura and expectation and ethos and just self-belief is also a really, really important thing when it comes to European ties. You know, we've seen Real and plenty of the people who are still involved in this squad go 2 and 3 goals down in quarterfinals, semifinals, whatever, and still manage to find a way. So I don't think that they can be overlooked in any regard, even if, I don't know, let's say, Kylian Mbappe and Harry Kane were both in the form to see them come in with three hat-tricks in three games or something like that, I would still make Real Madrid the biggest and the best in this.
Yeah, I'd be the same. Like you said, it's a lot of it is the know-how of having won it before. And, you know, it starts with Carlo obviously having won it four times. But then you've got your Luka Modric's and your Toni Kroos and people like that. I mean, you look at their squad right now. Dani Carvajal has won five. Nacho has won five and Luka Modric has won five. Toni Kroos has won four with them and one with Bayern, giving him five in total as well. Lucas Vazquez has won four. Like it's a staggering level of success throughout that squad. Not just star names, but squad players that have been there and done it and have that ability to come into the team and not be overawed by the situation, not find the lights too bright for them. Like it is an incredible thing the way they have dominated this competition. And it's not like, you know, it's not like league domination, obviously, where, you know, you've had Bayern win 11 titles in a row, or Juventus had that long run in Italy, or PSG have dominated the French league, because you are talking about the very best of the best, but they're on course to win their 15th European Cup this year. And I mean, that is just a staggering achievement if they can pull that off and win a 15th trophy. Because like we've won six and we are without question European royalty. Like we've had an amazing time in the Champions League. Bayern have had an amazing time. They've won six as well. Milan have won seven, but Real have won 14. You can add up any two other clubs and Real will still have won more already. Like that level of just single focus on this competition since 1998. Because obviously they won the five in a row in the late 50s into 1960. They won again in 66. Then they didn't win it for 32 years. And now they've won eight since 1998. Which again, that's more in that period of time than any other club has ever won. Like that is just incredible the way they've been able to make this their competition.
It is, especially when it's been a case of finances rising elsewhere, you know, concentrated, consistent challenges from the same club for like, you know, half a decade at a time. I think that other than the fact that Real Madrid themselves have won it, it's also notable because no other club has done it, if you know what I mean. You know, there's a lot of money has been around, let's say, Chelsea for a long, long time, but they've never remotely come close to not just obviously getting to Real Madrid's level, but never even come close to challenging the clubs behind them either. So there is undoubtedly and unquestionably something about Real Madrid, which I think it's just the mindset. It's just an absolute expectation that even if they don't have the greatest team going, that they still go far in the competition, that they still have to challenge to win the competition. I mean, we've spoken about them plenty of times when they'll go out and have a reasonable season and win the league and still sack the manager.
Yeah.
Because Europe is where it is for them.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like they view the league title as secondary. The Champions League is what they view as their primary focus every single season, which is, I think, in large part why they brought Carlo back, because after Carlo left Real the first time, having won the European Cup in 2014, he had a pretty bad run where multiple jobs didn't work out for him. And all of a sudden, the poor man found himself managing Everton Football Club. But then nobody wants that. I mean, it's one of those things where you manage Everton twice, once on your way up and once on your way down. Now, he hadn't managed them the first time, but he definitely wasn't on the way up. But Real knew that regardless of what had gone on at Bayern and at Napoli and, you know, mid-table finishes at Everton, they knew he had number one, the know-how of how to win the European Cup. He'd won it three times before. And number two, the ability to manage big names, big egos. And at that, he is the best there's ever been. Like, Carlo's not, he's not Pep in terms of being a tactician, but he's an underrated tactician in his own right. There's little wrinkles he throws in every now and then that are very, very good. He's not a great team builder like Klopp, but what he is he's the guy that gets you over the line. He's the guy that gives you that extra 5% because he just has the right mannerisms, the right focus, the right mentality. He's so cool-headed when it comes to these big games. And he has that ability to get every last bit out of players because he knows how to manage them properly across the course of a season. And, like, again, if he wins his fifth European Cup this season, like, Pep has three. Ferguson has two. I don't know how much longer we have the conversation about who's the greatest manager of the last 40 years without being forced to put Carlo's name into that mix, because five European Cups is an incredible achievement. That's as many European Cups on his own as Barcelona, who had arguably the greatest or second greatest team ever for a prolonged period of time.
Hello. I'm here to annoy you. I'm here to annoy you into listening to more of me and more of others on EPL Index. We don't just have the Anfield Index stuff. We've got EPL Index as well, which covers the entirety of the Premier League. And we have three podcasts and a whole bunch of really good writing on EPLindex.com. The podcasts are my own two-footed podcast, which is every day at 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, covering the whole league. We have A Tad Predictable, hosted by Tadiwa. You know Tadiwa, he does Anfield Index. He presents A Tad Predictable before every Premier League match week. And then Kevin DeVries and his crew on the EPL Roundtable, they're every week after the Premier League match week. So make sure you listen to everything we're doing on EPL Index and follow us there on Twitter at EPL Index. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I mean, it puts it into context, doesn't it? You add up some of those iconic clubs and you get a manager by himself. I mean, it kind of leads into the discussion that we had last time as well, doesn't it? About Zinedine Zidane, same club, same, very, very not the same manager, but the same ability seemingly to get the maximum out of certain players, certain key players, identify what they need and allow that to happen. That's probably one of the only real crossovers I could point out between Ancelotti and Zidane, and it's not really a very quantifiable one at all, but the fact that it happens at that club, the fact that it happens with some of the same players, obviously, there is a very difficult way to talk about Real Madrid and, you know, any kind of emulating their success, because that is something which is just in. It's like, it's part of the fabric of the club. It's part of the mindset and the understanding and the expectation of every single person involved. That fans, players, when they walk in through the door, you very, very quickly find if they don't have that mindset that you have to win every single game, they barely play and they'll be gone again a year later. And it's not often a matter of technical quality. It's something else entirely.
It is. And I do wonder how valuable the year Zizou spent on Carlo's staff in 13-14 was to Zidane in the formation of what he was going to be as a manager. Because like you said, there are definitely things he has taken or things he shares with Carlo in terms of that ability to manage big egos and big names. Now, the other factor for both of them is that when there's no player that can big time Carlo Ancelotti and say, well, what have you won? Because he's won four European Cups. Now, there might be a few players that have won five, but they'll still have that respect for him because most of them won one of them under him. There's no player anywhere in the world, bar maybe Lionel Messi, that could ever big time Zizou. So just having that immediate gravitas with players of, well, hang on a second, that's Zinedine Zidane, who won everything as a player before he'd won anything as a manager, like World Cup, European Championships, European Cup, La Liga title, Serie A title. Like, he had done everything as a player. He was one of the greats of all time. So there is that as well, that both of them walk in, you know, with that gravitas. And of course, Carlo would like me to remind everybody that it's not just as a manager that he's had incredible success. He's a two-time European Cup winning player as well, and was one of the most important parts of what I believe is the greatest club team to ever exist, which is Arrigo Sacchi's AC Milan. So he has 6 European Cup winners medals that he can put on the table, and only Paco Gento has that many. And he won his in the 50s and 60s. So, you know, both of these guys just carry that weight of name and recognition. I'd love to see Carlo win another one. There's just something about the guy that I love. Who are you picking to advance to the final from Bayern Munich versus Real Madrid?
I am going to pick Real, but I do think that there's going to be moments of mad in this tie. I think there's a huge amount of emphasis on Bayern Munich to win at home. If Real even get a draw, and probably if they're just down by one goal, they'll be pretty comfortable because they'll think that they'll get whatever they need to get back at back in Madrid. So I think the only real negative to this matchup is that for the first leg, when they're at home, Bayern are going to be missing most of their most rapid, dangerous forwards.
Yeah.
So no Sané, no Koeman, and no Gnabry is a big miss. I guess it will be Guerrero gets the start, and then they've still got Tell to come off the bench, and that's fine. That's good quality, but it's not what it would be if some of the others would be playing. Yeah. So I think that might just leave them a little bit short of where they need to be, even if they do win the first 90 minutes.
Yeah, it feels that way to me as well. I think for Real, if they want to stop this Bayern team, if they can just minimize the impact of Jamal Musiala, because he for me is the key to Bayern winning this. Without that pace on the wing, Harry Kane needs service.
Yeah.
And without those players that you've mentioned on the wing, it's going to have to come through Musiala. And if he performs at his very, very best level, then Bayern are very much capable of getting a couple of goal lead in this game tonight to take to Madrid. So for Real, he is who they need to stop. Kane, if you cut the supply off to Kane, you marginalize Kane. Musiala is that supply. He's the one that needs to be stopped. The other semi-final then tomorrow night, Borussia Dortmund versus PSG. I don't think anyone expected Dortmund to be here. PSG, with City having won the European Cup last year, PSG are now the biggest disappointment in Champions League history because of the money that they've spent. And the fact that that has brought them one final in which they lost to Bayern Munich under Thomas Tuchel, funnily enough, when he was a PSG manager.
But in a boot too at the time, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think? I don't know what to make of this game because I watched Dortmund and I don't like what I see. They got pumped at the weekend by Leipzig. Now, part of that may have been that they had eyes on this game, which is foolish considering if they lose to PSG and having lost at the weekend, they've now eliminated their chances of European Cup football for next season. I'm not a fan of Edin Terzic. I think Mats Hummels is an enormous liability at centre-back. I think the midfield is inconsistent. And I think up front, there's some talented players. But when I look at the likes of Daniel Malen and Karim Adeyemi and Jadon Sancho. I just see quite a lot of wasted promise, like players that 3 years ago, 2 years ago in Adeyemi's case, I thought were going to develop into much better players than they are now. I don't know what to make of Dortmund.
No, this seems to be one of the well, it is the team this year, but one of the classic sort of results better than what they are, especially in Europe. Obviously, not going swimmingly well for them in Bundesliga terms. Probably be fine, I guess, because they're going to get the fifth space, aren't they, for the Champions League for next season. But
of course, I wasn't thinking, yeah, you are right there.
So they should be fine in that regard, I think. But like, they were hammered by Leipzig at the weekend, and that was basically the fourth or fifth playoff, if you like, if we can quickly invent such a thing. They're a bit brittle, aren't they? They're not got the lightning counter-attacking speed that they used to have. They're quite good at going forward in the build-up play, but it's a bit second tier, if we're being honest. Like, the players who were, like you said, really exciting players when they were younger are not anymore. Like, Marlon's 25 now. Like, he should be basically showing now what he is. Sancho, obviously, we know, approaching that same age, and he's been decent for them, but nobody would have thought that at age 24, given what he was doing at 21, that this is where he would be or what kind of impact he would be having. I have just embraced the madness of this potential game, to be honest. I think we're going to see like a first leg, which is going to be end to end. I think Dortmund have to attack because they cannot defend well enough to keep out this lineup.
Yeah.
So I expect it just to be a case of they'll both go at each other, because I don't really know why PSG would sit off this team at all. Like, if other than to get a bit of space behind what is a fairly slow midfield, I don't really see any advantage of sitting off to counterattack for PSG. They should just be looking to get hold of the ball and dominate it and create as many chances as they can, because this Dortmund backline has shown it's not the most concentrated, not necessarily most rugged or rigid or well organized all of the time. There's mistakes in, I would say, three of the four on a fairly regular basis. And Kobel's a good goalkeeper, I like him, but it's a slow team all around, apart from Madsen at left back, really. Like, Brandt, Chan, and Sabitzer are not a quick midfield in the slightest. And if you've got, presumably, Zaire Emery, he'll start. Vitinha, I think, has looked really, really good in Europe in quite a lot of matches this season when PSG are able to dominate. And obviously up front, they've got the greatest player in the world in Bradley Barcola.
Yeah, I mean, the PSG squad is phenomenally talented. I think of all the PSG squads that we've seen since the Qatari money went in there, this is the most talented they've had. When you look at the quality they have in goal, you look at the quality they have in defensive areas, in midfield, and then in attack, obviously led by Barcola with his willing assistant, Kylian Mbappe. It is just a phenomenally gifted squad. Like, Ousmane Dembele, Gonçalo Ramos, these are fantastically gifted players. Kolo Muani, I'm not as keen on as some, but I do think he's a good player. But there's just so many. You look in every single position, and they've got somebody that you go, oh, he's really good. Like, really good. Both fullback spots, centre back. They're just loaded here, there, and everywhere. The one area I think they're let down is the fella in the dugout. I just cannot get on board with Luis Enrique. I look at his managerial career, mediocre at Roma, poor at Celta Vigo. Yes, he did well at Barcelona, but I think he underachieved, only winning one European Cup when he had the best front three we've ever seen, and still had two of the three from the greatest midfield, the greatest three-man midfield we'd ever seen in their primes. He had a good defence. Like, I don't think he achieved everything he should have. And of course, in that front three is also
the greatest player to ever live. He underwhelmed massively with Spain, in my opinion. Like 20 wins from 39 games is not good enough. I just don't think he's a particularly good manager. I think he makes bizarre decisions. I think tactically, he's average at best. I know he likes to play a lot of vertical passes, but I can't get on board with him as a manager. I think he holds them back. If Carlo managed them, I'd be picking PSG to win the European Cup. If Thomas Tuchel managed them, I'd pick PSG to win the European Cup.
They've already had those two and they didn't.
But they didn't have this squad of players.
No.
This is a much better squad of players than what Carlo had. And it's a better squad than what Tuchel had a couple of years ago. It's deeper. It fits together better. They've got one of the greats in Luis Campos building the squad.
Hey guys, it's Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast and I'm sorry to call time on the show before it ends. In the current climate, it's tougher than ever before to offer podcasts for free. At Anfield Index, we produce over 75 free shows every month, which I'm confident is unparalleled in the LFC sphere. Whilst we'd love to offer everything for free, the production costs now make this impossible. That said, we don't want to follow the model of other channels and lock all of our content behind a paywall. So what we've decided to do is to continue offering every show for free, but cut that offering to 30 minutes on our longer shows. So to get all of our shows in full and enjoy the best of everything we have to offer, we really hope you'll consider supporting the channel and signing up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. For about the price of one cup of coffee, you'll get every podcast in full with zero ads. You'll also get access to our LFC VIP community, where you can enjoy live podcasts, engage with our podcasters, and chat with other Reds in real time. So that website again, AnfieldIndexPro.com. Join today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.